Luke chapter 23, verse 44. This is the reading of God's Word. It was now about the sixth hour, and darkness fell over the whole land until the ninth hour, because the sun was obscured. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing your word. Grant us an ear to hear your word. And Father, we pray that by your grace, that through your word, that we will be able to have sweet fellowship with our Lord Jesus Christ. And through your word, let us see what our Lord has done, what he has accomplished for us. So may we rejoice and give him all the glory and thanksgiving. Pour out your grace that your word will be preached correctly and all of us not only hear your word but also believe and obey your word. Oh Father, we pray that you and you alone will receive all the glory. We thank you and we love you. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, in Book of Luke, chapter 23, we see our Lord Jesus Christ dying on the cross, bearing our sins. His death by crucifixion was decided at around 6 a.m., and he was led to the Calvary, and he was nailed to the cross at around 9 a.m. We saw this before. And we come to our passage for today. Luke chapter 23, verse 44. It was now about the sixth hour, and darkness fell over the whole land until the ninth hour. It says about the sixth hour, meaning at around 12 noon, darkness fell over the whole land until the ninth hour, meaning until 3 p.m. So from 12 noon until 3 p.m., the darkness comes, and at around 3 p.m., then Jesus dies. So if you think about this, from 12 noon to 3 p.m., the duration of time in which the sun shines the most bright, exactly at that time, the whole land became dark. Question is, what is really happening? Is it just a natural eclipse of the sun? And if it was an eclipse of the sun, then there is no way for that to happen for 3 hours. Because we experienced it before, you know, it keeps moving. It doesn't stay dark for 3 hours. Some even say that a strong storm covered the sun. But what we are witnessing, what we are seeing in our passage is a supernatural event. And it witnesses what kind of death that Jesus is dying on the cross. See, God causes these supernatural events, and he records it in the Bible so that we may read those and understand the meaning of what is really happening. So we see what kind of death that Jesus is dying on the cross. God actually told us about it even from the Old Testament. Joel chapter 2, verse 30 and 31. I will display wonders in the sky and on the earth, blood, fire, columns of smoke. The sun will be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes. The day of the Lord. The day of God's judgment. That day has come as Jesus dies on the cross. The sun turns dark. It is the day of darkness. Joel chapter 2, verse 1b through 2a. For the day of the Lord is coming. Surely it is near, a day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and thick darkness. Amos chapter 8, verse 9. It will come about in that day, declares the Lord God, that I will make the sun go down at noon and make the earth dark, broad daylight. Zephaniah chapter 1, verse 14 and 15. Near is the great day of the Lord, near and coming very quickly. Listen, the day of the Lord. In it, the warrior cries out bitterly, a day of wrath, that is, a day of wrath is that day, a day of trouble and distress, a day of destruction and desolation, a day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and thick darkness. One more passage. And I could actually go on for hours and hours about this kind of passage. Bible already told us in the Old Testament, this day will come. Isaiah 13, verse 9 through 11. Behold, the day of the Lord is coming, cruel and fury and burning anger, to make the land a desolation. And he will exterminate his sinners from it. For the stars of heaven and their constellations will not flash forth their light. The sun will be dark when it rises, and the moon will not shed its light. Thus I will punish the world for its evil and the wicked for their iniquity. I will also put an end to the arrogance of the proud and abase the haughtiness and ruthless. What are we looking at as we see Jesus dying on the cross? As Jesus is dying on the cross, we see that the day of the Lord is come. The day of God's judgment comes in the middle of history. The last judgment of God being poured out on Jesus Christ. See, when we read the book of Exodus, we see God pouring out his judgment upon Egypt. And one of those judgments of God was darkness. And of course, it was a typological judgment. It wasn't true last judgment, but it was pointing to that. Exodus chapter 10, verse 21 through 23. Then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand toward the sky, and there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even a darkness which may be felt. So Moses stretched out his hand toward the sky, and there was thick darkness in all the land of Egypt for 3 days. They did not see one another, nor did anyone rise from his place for 3 days, but all the sons of Israel had light in their dwellings. What we are seeing in our passage is the last judgment of God that this darkness judgment in the Exodus was pointing to. Of course, the last judgment of God would happen at the end, at the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And all the passages that we read tell us that it will be at the end of age. And when we come to the New Testament, it is very clearly written to tell us that the last judgment of God will come when Jesus comes back. Matthew 24, verse 29 and 30. But immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall upon the sky, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. Revelation chapter 6, verse 12. The sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great river, the Euphrates, and its water was dried up so that the way would be prepared for the kings from the east. And I saw coming out of the mouth of the dragon and out of the mouth of the beast and out of the mouth of false prophet three unclean spirits like frogs. For they are spirits of demons performing signs which go out to the kings of the whole world to gather them together for the war of the great day of God the Almighty. Behold, I am coming like a thief. Blessed is the one who stays awake and keeps his clothes, so that he will not walk about naked, and man will not see his shame. And they gather them together to the place which in Hebrew is called Armageddon. Then the seventh angel poured out his bowl upon the air, and the loud voice came out of the temple from the throne, saying, "It is done." Now, obviously, that these things, including the judgment of darkness, God says it will happen at the end. It will happen when Jesus Christ comes back. So when we look at what is happening in Luke chapter 23, we have to ask question, why is that judgment happening when Jesus dies on the cross, not when he's coming back for the second time? Our passage in the book of Luke witnesses that last judgment of God is being poured upon Jesus Christ on the cross in the middle of history. See, we do not see it in the book of Luke, but if we read Matthew 27, verse 45 and 46, this is what we read. Now from the sixth hour, darkness fell upon all the land until ninth hour. About the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, my God, why have you forsaken me? So after 3 hours of darkness, Jesus cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? See, Jesus shows us that 3 hours of darkness points to the reality that Jesus is receiving the eternal judgment of hell on the cross. The last judgment of God is being poured out upon Jesus in the middle of history. The eternal judgment of hell. You know, it's not you go to hell and you die. And when I use that word die, I'm using it as the world does. No, actually you will live forever, even in hell, if you go to hell. But living in hell forever, that's what the Bible calls death. But that reality of hell is all about God abandoning you. And I don't want to use you as an example of that, but abandoning sinner forever in hell. That's what the last judgment of God is all about. Eternal abandonment of God. the terrifying last judgment of God that will happen at the end of history, at the end of this world, that judgment is actually happening, even though the history has not yet ended. Our Lord Jesus Christ, bearing our sins, receives the last judgment of God, the eternal judgment of God on the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus was actually forsaken by God. And that's what hell is all about. Sinner being forsaken forever into hell. But see, darkness fell only 3 hours. But it's okay, because Jesus is eternal God. And even if darkness was applied to him for 1 second, it was applied eternally, because he himself is eternal God. So do you see it on the cross? He's receiving eternal punishment of hell, being eternally abandoned or forsaken by God on that cross. And that's what we're looking at. Yes, we all know Jesus is sinless. Then why is he being eternally abandoned by God on the cross? Well, because he was bearing your sins. He was bearing our sins. Thus, God the Father is forsaking Jesus. This is the eternal judgment of hell, being forsaken forever by God, being eternally separated from God and tormented forever. Being kicked out of his loving presence forever. Being eternally outside of heaven where God lives with his people. This reality of God's eternal judgment was witnessed many times in the Old Testament. Yes, all of them were typological. You know, Adam and Eve were kicked out of the Garden of Eden after they sinned. What's the meaning of that? Well, that's exactly what we're talking about today. The sinful Israelites were kicked out of the promised land. Same meaning. Jesus Christ is being kicked out of the presence of God forever on that cross. Those Old Testament events were all pointing to the last judgment of God. The darkness that came upon the whole land as Jesus was dying on the cross witnesses to that reality. So we understand what kind of death that Jesus is dying. It's not just physical. Oh, if it was just physical, then he did not pay for our sins in full. Because what we deserve is not just physical death, but eternal death. And Jesus had to pay that penalty. My God, why have you forsaken me? Do you see in this the power of sin? The depth of sin, the horror of sin. Hebrews 10:31, it is a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But here we also see the righteousness and the holiness of God. The righteous God must judge the sinners. Being forsaken by God forever. Terrifying indeed. Do you realize what that truly means? What would you do if God rejects you and forsakes you? This is worse than anything that we know. All the pains in the world put together would not exceed the pain of being forsaken by God forever, if you love God. Complete severance of our fellowship with God. God turning His face from us forever and ever. The result is the judgment forever, the curse, the darkness, the death, the void, the emptiness, the eternal torment, the loneliness, the hopelessness, helplessness, the fear, the terror, the filth, and the utter sinfulness forever. This is what our sins deserve. See the sufferings that our Lord Jesus Christ is going through on the cross, being forsaken by the Father. We will never be able to fully understand rejection from the Father. Did you ever thought of what this means to Jesus Christ? And also what this meant to the Father. Jesus loves His Father. Loving and enjoying Father were and are His delight. The Father is His delight. He loves His Father perfectly and completely. And receiving Father's love is joy and delight. From the eternal beginning, the Father and the Son share the perfect love, the love that the Son has for the Father. The depth of it, the size of it. We cannot even imagine this. We will never know its depth. And on the cross, He is being forsaken by that Father whom He loves so dearly. And He cries out to the Father, my God. Even as He is being forsaken by the Father, He calls the Father, my God. He holds on to the Father. For Him, the Father is everything. So my God, who is everything to me, why have you forsaken me? He knows the answer to this question. He does. He must experience the total hellish eternal judgment, eternal rejection of God for His people. For our sins, He must experience the rejection of God to the level where He cannot do anything but to cry out to the Father, my God, why have you forsaken? This is real forsaking. For His people who were under God's wrath, He gave Himself to the judgment of God so that you and I will be forever received by God. Forever accepted by God. Because God has forsaken His own Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, now in Him, God is able to receive us to His presence forever. Even though we sin every single day, for you and for me who are in Christ, there's no need for us to cry out to God, my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus on the cross received the curse and the judgment of God in our places. Our Lord's death on the cross points to the eternal judgment of God. The reality of the darkness shows it. It is the reality of hell. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 17, these are springs without water, mist driven by a storm, for whom the black darkness has been reserved. So you could see Peter describes hell as darkness. So it's not just you turn up the light and you don't see that kind of darkness. It's way, way more than that. It's everything that you know, the negative things, and you multiply that by eternity or infinity. That's what hell is. You know, I could only list some of it, right? The curse, darkness, death, void, emptiness, the eternal torment, the loneliness, the helpless, hopeless, fear, terror, filth, and utter sinfulness. I mean, if you just take one thing, like loneliness, infinite loneliness, the emptiness. Jesus felt it. He experienced it. To save you. Jude chapter 1 verse 13, while waves of the sea casting up their own shame like foam, wandering stars for whom the black darkness has been reserved forever. See, hell is the opposite of God's creation, the opposite of the new creation of God that the first creation was pointing to. Genesis chapter 1 verse 3, then God said, let there be light, and there was light. The new creation, John chapter 1 verse 9, here was the true light which, coming into the world, enlightens everyone, every man. The Lord Jesus Christ came as the light and shined his light on his people who were in the darkness. Luke chapter 1 verse 78 and 79, because of the tender mercy of our God, with which the sunrise from on high will visit us to shine upon those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Do you see it then? Our Lord Jesus Christ enters the darkness so that he may lead us into eternal light. To save us, Jesus, who is the true light, on the cross, he was under the rule of the darkness. But when we read the book of Luke, it brings so much joy to us. Because what we see in Luke chapter 23, the last judgment of God for us has already been poured out on Jesus on the cross. We too died with Jesus Christ. His death is our death. Thus, because what we see in Luke chapter 23, because of what Jesus Christ has done, there is no judgment of God left for you and for me. John chapter 5 verse 24, truly, truly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life. Romans 8 verse 1 and 2, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Jesus Christ. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and of death. On the cross, our Lord Jesus Christ, he receives the eternal judgment of God in our places, instead of us. The darkness that fell upon the whole land witnesses to that reality. Now you and I are the children of light. There is no forsaking by our God. Rather, we have the eternal fellowship of heaven with our God. We will see that reality in next verse, which is our next sermon. You are so blessed. Like we said before, you and I who are in Christ Jesus are no longer the darkness. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into the marvelous light. Colossians 1:13, for He rescued us from the domain of darkness and transfer us to the kingdom of His beloved Son. Ephesians 5, verse 8, for you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Yes. We are blessed people of God. And it really doesn't matter how much you sin. Oh yeah, God will discipline you. But that is out of His love for you. Like Father loving the Son. It has nothing to do with judgment. And you really need to realize this. And that's why I say to you many times, you know, I really wonder why God would use people like me to represent Him during worship. So I'm here, you know, speaking God's word to you. And because, you know, that residue of sinfulness is still remaining in me, that in representing God, I represent many, many times, probably all the time, maybe in lesser degree, I misrepresent God to you. Sometimes, as I speak God's word, my tone, there's some anger mixed. And you could probably hear that anger. But you have to realize, you have to tell yourself, God is not angry at me. He's not. There's that holy anger just because He wants you to live that holy life. He doesn't want you to sin. But that's not His anger towards you as if He wants to judge you, that He would pour out His judgment upon you. There is no judgment anymore. Because Jesus received it. Every judgment. The whole wrath of God that we deserve. This is why we welcome His comeback, you know, welcome His second coming. Because I know that I still sin, and those sins deserve the eternal judgment of hell. But I know that God judged those sins already in Christ. So there's no judgment left when God sees me. It's all blessings. This is why I live a joyous life. Because of the gospel. We're so blessed. And I'm so happy that I am able to come to you and preach this kind of sermons, Lord's Day after Lord's Day. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give you all the glory, honor, and power. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you that 2,000 years ago, you pour out the eternal judgment of hell that which we truly deserve. You pour all that out on Jesus Christ in our places instead of us. So the only thing left in you is blessings for us. So let us truly understand and know what you have done, what you have accomplished for us. That love will compel us to obey you more and more, to live that holy life that you have called us to live. Oh, Father, we love you, and we give you all the glory. We pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.